The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Christ. I invite you to be seated. The less than perfect man, Jacob, who persists in his struggle, his wrestling with God, until he gains a blessing. A psalm praising the trustworthiness of God, who watches over our going out and our coming in from this time on and forevermore. Paul, encouraging Timothy to be persistent in believing the story of God received in Scripture and the truth of that story of God's pursuit of God's people. A woman, persistent in her demands for justice. A call by Jesus to have faith, trust in God enough to persist in prayer. We have in our text today a description of what a life of faith looks like. And first and foremost, it is persistent. It strives, like Jacob, both with God and with people. Now, I covered the Gospel of Mark with my class from the University of Dubuque this past week, and we talked about how the disciples just couldn't seem to understand who Jesus was, and how frustrated Jesus must have been with them. And yet we all agreed that despite this inability to understand, despite this frustration, neither side called it quits. Jesus did not kick them to the curb and go find a group that would get it quicker, but rather continued to teach them. Again, and again, and again, and again. The disciples did not throw up their hands and call it quits, but they kept following Jesus, even as they wondered what the heck he meant half the time. This is both what a life of faith looks like and the character of the God that we follow. We strive, we persist with God and with humans, even when we don't fully get it. Now, we may come away limping from this contest, but we do come away blessed. Blessed by what we have learned in the striving, blessed by the insight, fortitude, and grace God gives us in that wrangling, blessed by the compassion, mercy, and love we receive from our fellow human beings. The life of faith is not an easy one, because it calls us to open our eyes to the truth of a thing, call it what it is, even when it is ugly, and even when it hurts, even when it is about us. Because only in being honest with God, ourselves, and others can we truly be made complete, whole. Only then can there be shalom, peace, wholeness in our lives. This is the faith that Jesus wonders if he will find when he comes again. Will we persist in faith? Even when it calls us to see those ugly truths, ones we don't want to see? Will we persist in faith even now when the time is not favorable? When being a follower of Jesus is not an asset in our society? When being faithful in worship and prayer, spending time in the scriptures, living the life God calls us to is inconvenient at best and costs us something? Costs us something of our time or our resources or our social capital at worst. Will we persist in trusting that God in Jesus Christ loves us and wants what is best for us now and always? We abide. I love that word. We abide, remain, live, dwell in what we have learned from our childhood, but also beyond. We ground ourselves in God-breathed scripture because it will help us to be complete, whole, ready for the good work God has called us to stand up, whether the time is easy or difficult. Because as Paul says, the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears. What an wonderful image. Itching ears that seek a different story about their relationship to God, the world, and themselves. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. Myths that say we don't need God. You can live a life without God just fine. Decide what is best for you and others on your own. You can make judgments about what is good and evil through your own intellect. Myths that sound an awful lot like what the serpent told Adam and Eve in the garden. And look where that got us. Why persist in this faith if it costs us something? If it means wrestling with ourselves and our neighbors, if it means investing in prayer and worship and fellowship, if it means losing something socially and economically, because as Jesus has reminded us that only in doing these things, following Him, having trust in God, only then will we find the life that truly is life. A fuller and more abundant life for all. It is only in persisting in faith in the God who comes to us through Jesus Christ that we will be freed from all those things that bind us, including our own self-centeredness. And what incredible things we will be able to do once freed. I recently read a story about a young woman and her father in Atlanta, Georgia, back in the early aughts. They were stopped at a traffic light, and on the sidewalk next to her, she noticed a homeless man begging for food. And then a black Mercedes-Benz convertible pulled up on the other side of them. She'd volunteered regularly with one of the feeding programs in the area, and her heart was moved by the plight of the homeless man, and this contrast between wealth and poverty stirred something in her. She said to her dad, "If that man had a less nice car, that man could have a meal." And her father replied, "Yes, but you know, if we had a less nice car, that man could have a meal." The young woman's name is Hannah Solomon. And the response her father, Kevin, made to her observation niggled at her. She couldn't let it go. And as a result of that offhanded comment that she made and her father's response, she prompted her family to a serious conversation about the implications of their wealth. And after some deep deliberation, the Solomon family decided to sell their million-dollar home and give half the proceeds to help the poor. So they downgraded the home to one half its size and half its cost, and they downsized their stuff because it wouldn't all fit, and they either gave it away or they sold it and donated the proceeds. And they found that they still had enough. And in the process, they gained something as well. They found that the project and the move had brought them closer as a family. They interacted more in that tighter space, and they became happier in their lives. Now, Dad Kevin points out, we never encourage anybody to sell their house. That was just the thing we had more than enough of. For others, it may be time, or lattes, or iTunes downloads, or clothes in their closet, but everyone has more than enough of something. In doing something that most would find foolish, one person commented on this story. What kind of clown works his tail off, busts his hump getting a decent education, only to listen to his kids suggest they give away the house? In doing this foolish thing, the Solomons found something greater, life that was truly life. One that made room for other human beings to have enough. Daily bread. This is the life that Jesus calls us to, that Paul admonishes us to persist in. A life together in this household of God that we call the church. A life of faith that trusts that the story of manna in the wilderness, that God will always provide us daily bread, to trust that enough so that we are generous with our abundance. A life of faith that trusts that loving our enemy, praying for those who persecute us, will bring a fuller life more than destroying them utterly. A life of faith that says compassion and solidarity with those who are powerless is more fulfilling than just ignoring them. Today is our commitment Sunday, when we will receive your estimate of giving cards for 2023. Completing them may have felt a bit like wrestling with each other. These intents will shape the mission and ministry of St. John for the coming year. These intents are a spiritual practice, one that persists in trusting that even though we will share this amount, which is probably considerably less than half, which is okay, we trust that even though we will share this amount, God will still provide us with enough. That God is trustworthy and will bless us in the giving of our wealth, but also of our time and our talents, skills, and abilities. Hannah's dad was right. Some of us have more of one thing than another. I vividly remember from my time at First Lutheran Church, there was a single mother of four children who used to almost apologize for how little that she gave in money, but who also gave so freely of her time and her energy. Every time I turned around, she was there. And of a psychologist who one time told me, I don't have a lot of time to give, but I do have money. And he gave of it generously to the mission and ministry of that place. We give from what God has first given us to steward. Our time, ourselves, our possessions. Signs of God's gracious love for us. And we give because we trust in that God, creator of all that is, and that in God we will find life fuller and more abundant. One filled with the gifts of the Spirit that we spent so much time talking about this past summer. Do you remember them? love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If this is the life that you desire, let us persist together in following Jesus of Nazareth. Even though there may be times where we just don't quite get what he's saying, let us persist together in loving our neighbor. Let us persist together in trusting that God will provide us enough even as we share generously out of our abundance. Let us persist in faith, trusting like the psalmist who asks the question, from where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who watches our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Thanks be to God. I invite us to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.